Frances poured the last bitter remains of the coffee pot into her cup. The small kitchen table was covered in paper, layouts, copies of confidential reports, lousy ideas she had scrapped hours ago, and good ones already published in Look, Vogue, The Saturday Evening Post, Life, and Harper's Bazaar, to remind her that she had done it before and could do it again. For once, the apartment building was silent. Usually, from off in some distant corner, she could hear a baby crying, a couple arguing, a toilet flushing. But it was past 3 a.m. The revelers had long been asleep, and the milkmen weren't yet awake. Her roommate had gone to bed around 10. At the sight of her standing there in her nightgown and curlers, Frances was overcome with professional jealousy. Even though Anne was only a secretary in a law office who would spend tomorrow the same way she spent every day, fetching coffee and taking dictation. Frances had just finished writing the newest De Beers copy, a honeymoon series with pictures of pretty places newlyweds might go. The rocky coast of Maine, Arizona, Paris, and something generic for people without much money, which she labeled By the River. In a way, that one was the most important of them all, since they were trying to appeal to the average Joe. A decade earlier, when De Beers first came on as a client, the agency had done a lot of surveying to find out the strength, or really the weakness, of the diamond engagement ring tradition. In those days, not many women had wanted one. It was considered just absolutely money down the drain. They'd take a washing machine or a new car, anything but an expensive diamond ring. She had helped to change all that. The honeymoon ads read, "May your happiness last as long as your diamond." A pretty good line, she thought. "Time for bed, Frank," she whispered to herself, the same words her mother had whispered to her every night when she was a child. She was just about to switch off the light when she saw the blank signature line that the art director had drawn on the layouts, which she was meant to fill in by morning. Rats! Frances sat back down, lit a cigarette, and picked up a pencil. A day earlier, Jerry Locke, head of the New York office, had called her. "I think we should have something that identifies this as diamond advertising," he said. "A signature line. What do you think?" When Jerry Locke asked what you thought, it was wise to understand that he was not actually asking. In her opinion, the man was a genius. Unpredictable and a bit gloomy at times, but perhaps all geniuses were like that. "Yes, perfect," she said. Jerry looked like Winston Churchill. He acted like Winston Churchill, and sometimes Frances believed he thought he was Winston Churchill. He even had fits of depression. The first time she had to go to New York to show him her ideas, she was scared to death. Jerry looked them over, his face giving no indication of what he thought. After several torturous minutes, he smiled and said, "Frances, you write beautifully. More important, you know how to sell." They had liked each other ever since. Half the employees of NWA were afraid of Jerry Locke or couldn't stand him. The other half thought he hung the moon, and Frances was one of them. "The line shouldn't say anything about De Beers, of course," Jerry continued over the phone. "Of course." For 9 years, De Beers had spent millions on ads that barely mentioned the company itself. To even name it as a distributor would be breaking the law. So the advertisements were simply for diamonds, and they were beautiful. Ayer pulled out all the stops. They couldn't show pictures of diamond jewelry in the ads, which left the art department in a pickle. In theory, Jerry had nothing to do with creative. He was a straight-up businessman and just handed out the assignments. But as an art lover, he thought to commission a series of original paintings from Luccioni, Berman, Lamotte, and Dame Laura Knight. He purchased pre-existing works from some of the finest galleries in Europe for the De Beers collection, by Dali, Picasso, and Edzard. The resulting four-color ads showed gorgeous landscapes, cities, cathedrals. Printed on the page just below the artist's creation would be a box displaying illustrations of stones, ranging from half a carat to 3 carats, along with approximate prices for each. Jerry was the first person to create an ad campaign featuring fine art. A year or two later, everyone in the business was doing it.